Hi folks, I'm Mark Fallows and this is the Impossible Network podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe on iTunes or your favourite podcast player. And please leave a rating and a review because it helps more people find us. If you want to find out more of what we get up to or suggest who we interview next, follow us on Instagram at The Impossible Network or visit theimpossiblenetwork.com. Okay, let's get started.
NAWorld is a combination of... is a self-improvement app. That the app gives you tips daily on how to become more sustainable, to how to change your lifestyle towards a more sustainable lifestyle. It gives you a weekly challenge where if you complete these tasks, we give you points. And these points create an impact score. Every person in the app has an impact score, which is your new how cool you are, is your new how many followers you have, which is a combination of activities that you do good for the environment, how much you learn, how much you impact your friends with the content that we give you, and also how you spend your dollars, because we want you to spend your dollars not in brands that are only out there for a revenue, but we want to drive you to spend the money with companies that give back.
Born in England and raised in Italy by a trend-spotting mother and entrepreneurial father, innovation infused his education. Welcome this week's guest, Alessandro Armellotta, founder of social impact and sustainability startup AWorld. In this episode, Alex discusses how his childhood prepared him, how his father coached him, and how his mother inspired him to his life as an e-commerce and now social impact entrepreneur. Alex explains the evolution of his entrepreneurial journey in e-commerce, how his experience led him to conceive and launch the innovative social impact and sustainability e-commerce app, AWorld. Alex breaks down the elements of this groundbreaking app and provides insight into how AWorld enables companies and organizations to collectively invest in creating a more sustainable future for our planet. I hope you enjoy the conviction, faith, and focus of this New York-based social and environmental entrepreneur, Alessandro Armellotta.
Alex, Alessandro.
Alessandro it is.
Okay, Alessandro it is. Welcome to the Impossible Network.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you here. So let's dive in. We always start with upbringing. You're Italian.
Yes, I am.
Born in Italy?
No, I'm not. I was actually born in England in Guildford, in Surrey.
Damn, I didn't know that.
Nobody actually knows it. And my accent is because I'm half English and half Italian.
Right, okay.
I grew up till I was six in England, in Guildford. And then my mum decided to move with the family and my dad to Italy, where my Italian grandparents still live right now.
So English mother, Italian father.
Exactly.
Right. And where did you grow up in Italy?
North of Italy, between Milan and Turin, in a small city of 10,000 people, a village called Santia.
Wow. And you found yourself here in New York all these years later.
Yes, it's actually...
Okay, so there's a bit of a story there.
There's a journey, yes.
First of all, the most important question out of the way, what's your football team?
Ooh, I know.
You're Italian, come on.
Strongly supporting Juventus.
I thought you were going to say Guildford United.
No. Juventus from Turin.
Okay, well, that sort of makes sense. I respect
you
there.
It does.
Even though you've got Ronaldo, an ex-Man United player, so respect.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
All right then, so talk to me about your childhood in Italy and how important your parental support was, their guidance, their direction, and how that helped your journey to where you are today in terms of your self-belief.
Yeah, sure. Well, I think I am a great combination between extreme north and extreme south. I come from this great mix. I come from a charming and charismatic Italian entrepreneur, which is my dad. And then I come from a reserved, calm, but an amazing English woman, which is my mom. And
you're the perfect fusion of the two.
I think I am. Yes, my dad is an entrepreneur. He built a business himself starting from when he was 17. He left Italy and went to Scotland, actually, as a waiter, and came back 10 years
wow.
after. 10 years later with a running business, a big running business.
And what was the business?
He was selling leather jackets bought from Pakistan.
Wow.
And sold through England. And he built this motorbike business where he would sell leather jackets to choppers and Harley riders.
Wow. And he had this idea when he was a waiter in Scotland?
Yes, kind of. With a partner, he built this together. And he built this brand, which is actually called Stop. Mm-hmm. And was really, really successful in Italy. And he was one of the first companies to ship an order through mail to your home.
Wow, and we're so talking about early stage, pre-internet.
Yeah, pre-internet with catalogs. He will send you a catalog and then you will deliver home. And this is my dad. And my mom is this great woman that has a wide eye on trends and what's happening in the world. My mom worked actually at Harrods at London.
And that's when they met?
That's when they met. They met in England. They met and then I came in as a project. They moved. We moved to Italy, but my mom is the one that always had a wide eye and point of view on what was going on in the world. So when we talk about sustainability, fashion trends, 10, 15 years ago, she already knew where this was going. And she always 5 years ahead of a trend. Uh-huh. Alex, that's a good singer. He will become great. That's a trend. That's a fashion piece that will be strong for the next years, and she always gets it.
So your mother was the insight person, your father was the executor.
Exactly.
Interesting. Yes. And what about your siblings?
I have a sister, Claudia, 3 years younger than me. And we're opposite, completely opposite. I am the entrepreneur, down-to-earth business person. She is the actress.
Screen actress or stage?
Stage. Stage.
Talk to me about play and the freedom that you had to explore as a child. And how that impacted on your character development.
Yes, I must say I've always been very lucky. My dad and mom let me do whatever I wanted to do. I wasn't good in school, but we used to travel a lot.
So you weren't good in school?
I wasn't good in school, no. But that was a good thing, actually. I was very lucky. My parents traveled a lot, and I used to travel with them. And my dad never taught me anything, but he showed me how life would be and how work is. So by looking at him and being, you know, in my early age as an entrepreneur, say it was when I was a kid, I've learned the day by day by doing things and acting and taking action on my ideas. From exchanging Pokemon cards at school when I was like 12, to then selling my first pieces on eBay when I was maybe 16, 17.
And your father encouraged this?
He was the enabler. He's always been the enabler. He never told me yes or no. He said, if you feel right about it, you should do it.
So looking back at your childhood, do you have any sort of defining moment or memory?
Well, yes. One of my first defining moments was when I moved to Italy, actually. I was six. So imagine this 6 years old boy.
With an English accent.
Yeah, with an English accent, barely speaks Italian. And I moved to school. I was this English-Italian blonde boy, goes to school, and I've always been labeled as the English boy. Oh, the English guy. And I also happened to be Christian but Protestant in Italy.
In Italy, in a Catholic country.
We were all Catholic. So I've always been labeled and judged as a different one. Mm-hmm. I would always stand out for what I do. But this was a good thing because it allowed me to be different.
And comfortable in your difference.
Yeah,
I assume.
Very comfortable in my difference. It allowed me to play out of the context and the rules, and also to make mistakes. And I wouldn't be judged straight away because I was already judged by people. And remember that I used to live in a 10,000 people village. Everybody knows what everyone else is doing. Yeah. Yes. So I believe in diversity. I'm a strong believer in diversity. And also, if it helps, and if you allow me to say this, in challenging the status quo, because I've been that different person in a different country, and it helped me a lot.
When you said you weren't good at school, what do you mean by that? You just didn't pay attention, or you just weren't interested?
I wasn't interested. It might have been me at the time. It might have been the teachers. I had to repeat 2 years of high school. Oh. I didn't pass. Actually, funny to say, it was computer technology.
Yes. That is ironic.
I did my first class. I went to my second grade.
Computer science.
I didn't pass computer science for twice, 2 years in a row. And you could imagine my parents, what they were saying.
Yeah.
And it wasn't good. I had to go to school with kids younger than I was, which was embarrassing at the time. And I finally graduated with psychology, actually, mm-hmm. which was kind of difficult, but I found my interest in psychology and helping the others because I graduated with a very uncommon and very uncommon subject, which was psychologies, but psychologies for communities. And I'm actually a community director, which for legally I could help communities with people that have problems with alcohol or that have mental illness.
That's interesting, so you've ended up doing what you're doing now with the app, actually.
Exactly.
Okay, so what happened after school? Did you go on to further education?
After school, no. I never went to university. I never tried to go to university.
And straight into work.
Straight into work. My dad brought me to London again. He said, Alex, we need to launch a website. We have no idea how to do
it.
What
year was this?
This was 2006, 2007. We moved to London.
Should have come to see me at McCann. We were building websites then for clients.
No, there you go.
Damn.
Well, it was the early stages for us. Yeah. We had no idea what a website was. I knew eBay, I knew marketplaces, but I didn't know how to manage my website, to run a website. So I had to learn everything the hard way.
So your father just said, I trust you, it's your project?
Not yet, I was too young, and I wasn't still all there with my mind. I was still, I used to DJ when I was a kid. So I was interested in, also into music. And we moved to London, we launched this website called Moda Brand, a website that in the early stages was selling through all Europe and internationally with good success. But the operation and the idea was too big for us and we couldn't keep up with the speed. I had no idea what Google AdWords was. There was no social media marketing at the time. And it was successful for the first years, but then it was too big for us. In the meantime though, I was getting passionate about e-commerce. I've learned the opportunities. I've always been interested in marketplaces and I always wanted to share my catalog at the same time with eBay and the upcoming Amazon.
And Amazon. And the things you were selling at the time for your father's business, this was?
It's fashion.
Fashion.
Yes, it was a high-end fashion. Mm-hmm. We used to sell a lot of
leather goods.
No, this was already brands. Mm-hmm. This was Fred Perry, Dolce & Gabbana, Prada, Ed Hardy at the time.
So your father's business was essentially a catalog business that sold brands and then delivered by mail and then migrated into e-commerce.
Yes. He started with the leather goods and then he saw an opportunity in brands and then he moved into brands. So he's been doing that and he's still doing this at the same time. And I fell in love with the e-commerce and the beauty of reaching out to a million people with a few clicks. And actually when I was in London one day and we were actually wrapping it up to come back to Italy to go back into wholesale, I step into a store which sells Halloween dresses. And I was thinking about Italy and how we have a strong carnival and we were still stuck with our traditional costumes, which are Pulcinella, Pantaleone, which nobody would know. And I step in this store in Camden Town called Escapade.
Oh yeah, and
you know it?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
I try on a Buzz Lightyear costume, and I'll tell you why this is funny in a sec. We laugh, we crack up laughing. It was very funny, but then I thought about it, and we could potentially have a business in Italy. So what I do is I go back to Italy. I open my company with £500, 500 euros. I place my first order, bring it to Italy, set up a website in an empty office on a plastic table, and I was ready for Halloween to start selling. Well, the story says that the month of October, from the 1st to the 31st, I had zero sales. No sales at all. I did marketing. I finally had a tool to sell on eBay too. I was doing AdWords, nothing. Mm. So the night of Halloween, I go out with all my friends. I give all my costumes away, barely all the costumes. I just sold them below cost. I said, this is not a business for me. I thought about it. I thought it could be something good, but we're not there. Something is wrong. We go out, have fun on Halloween night. We come back the day after, 1st of November. I get my first order in the evening.
Post-Halloween?
Yeah, post-Halloween. And you know what costume that was? Buzz Lightyear. So I got my 70 euro order on my own website.
You're suddenly buying it back from your mates that bought the Buzz Lightyear.
Luckily, I still had that one in stock. And the website was called Comic Store. Uh-huh. And from there, we drove this business, which actually came the most successful business for costumes in Italy for the next 5 years, selling adults, kids, accessories, and smaller toys related to Disney and Marvel products.
Still called the same name?
Still called the same name. I sold the business after 5 years, actually to a university teacher. Mm-hmm. And I got in contact. The first time I ever thought to sell the website, this person just said, anything you touch, I'll buy it. And he bought it.
That's nice.
After 5 years. So from there, I went to drop shipping with perfumes and cosmetics. I was being I used to sell as a retailer.
So for listeners that don't know what dropshipping is, could you maybe just explain?
Dropshipping, I used to run an e-commerce site. I built my site called beautytag.it, but somebody else owned inventory and warehouse, and they were shipping out of Spain.
Right.
So I would just do marketing, get the
orders,
sales.
Drive it to them, they deliver.
They would deliver directly to the consumer.
And hold the inventory.
And it was useful because I learned a lot. I learned how difficult it was to do marketing and to have a retail website again, international, with bigger brands. This brought me into my most successful business so far, which is called Buy2B. At this point, I went back to work with my dad, but in reverse dropshipping, I was the supplier. I was the company holding inventory. And we built this great piece of tech that was called Buy2B. Retailers could connect to our website. At that point, my dad was a supplier for fashion, but I was also a retailer for perfumes. And I knew what retailers needed and suppliers needed to scale. I just connected the dots. And then we built this beautiful integration with Shopify, Magento, PrestaShop that connected to our own platform. And we just rented it out to suppliers for them to integrate with us, pull our inventory and sell it worldwide. And we drove a tremendous amount of money for the first 2 years and actually won 2 big awards for the business with myself and my 2 business partners, which are Marco Armellino and Alessandro Lancieri.
Wow. And this was in Italy?
This was in Italy, yes.
We're back to what, to Turin?
Turin, yes. Based in Turin.
So one of the things we like to explore in the podcast is serendipity.
It's a word I don't use so much. Mm. I cultivate most of my relationships and work hard in becoming a better person every day. I think that I must say I'm a Christian, and I think there is a plan for me.
Yes.
There is a journey, uh-huh, for sure. I think that today is a gift, most certainly. And every encounter, every person I meet, I believe it makes me a better person.
Yeah.
And I'm actually thirsty, and I want to learn more every day about every person that surrounds me. And that is my serendipity. Mm-hmm. I try to stay on the right track and learn as much as I can from the people around me.
Okay, so let's move on. So this business you'd set up in Italy, you were now essentially a global business.
I was a global business. Yeah. I was traveling Asia, all Europe, and trade shows all around the world. And I come to...
Did you struggle with scaling it and just managing this? Because it sounds to me, that period, the growth was fairly rapid.
It was rapid. And at the time, there was an explosion of marketplaces. Mm-hmm. Everybody was becoming a marketplace. And nobody wanted to hold inventory anymore.
Yeah.
So that was an advantage for me.
Yeah, you were in the drop shipping zone.
Exactly. I have the inventory. I control the market somehow, you know? So I really only needed 15, 20 big clients to drive big sales. So we were shipping from South Africa to South Africa, Australia, Mexico, and the States. Mm-hmm. And I used to travel to attend to trade shows. Mm-hmm. And I go to one trade show called Magic, which all the fashion world attends Magic in February and August. And I meet one of my biggest clients. That was Bluefly at the time. It was a fashion designer marketplace. And overnight, they fell in love with with my piece of technology, with what I was doing. They knew I had the contacts, and they hired me as their president, which was a fairly big company at the time.
Based where?
Based in New York. Oh. So this is why I'm here. They offered me a visa, accommodation, and said, we need you to run the company over here.
And what did you say about leaving your existing business, which must have been doing very well?
It was doing very well, and the deal was that the business would come with me, and I had in plan to scale up and make a global B2B marketplace for fashion and luxury goods. And we actually didn't manage to execute the plan. I moved to New York, and my vision wasn't the same vision with management. And after a few months of this experience, I had to leave the company. After a few months, it wasn't my place. The company wasn't going in the same way I wanted it to be going. And I left. And unfortunately, the company shut down after a year and a half.
And you went back to Italy?
No, actually, no. from this company in New York. This company in New York was owned by a very big Chinese company in Shanghai. So they hated me. They hated to see me leave. I said, I won't be part of your New York division. And they said, okay, but you need to come to Shanghai with us. We want you in our team. And this is a fairly big company, a public trade company. And I went. I went to Shanghai for 6 months. And this is where I learned a completely different world, a completely different market, a completely different way of doing marketing. I was blown away by what they were doing. We were stuck here 10 years behind the Chinese trends. They fairly have their way of scaling businesses is more horizontal than vertical. They use affiliation marketing, people pushing products to other people. Mm-hmm. Through WeChat.
Yeah, and through the power of WeChat. Yeah, yes. Platforms like Tencent.
And, exactly, yeah. Exactly. And that's how they scale, using other people. And I was fascinated about it because in the meantime, I was in New York and always doing marketing for the companies that I was running. And then we were having struggles in penetrating the market. We ended up somehow with Google and Facebook that at the time were the only way of doing customer acquisition. It was very difficult. Now we have Instagram, but there was, and there is still, a lot of noise in the market. And Chinese company were doing billions by avoiding social media marketing. And I find that very interesting. And it was pure affiliation.
So just to explain for any listeners that aren't familiar with that model. So if someone buys something on WeChat, they then post it to WeChat, and if a friend sees it and buys it, that person gets an affiliate fee.
Exactly, a commission.
Essentially a referral commission.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And that's what drives Chinese commerce at the moment.
Yes, it is. It's very used. I don't believe we should be using the same strategy over here. Mm-hmm. I don't think that in this culture we're comfortable of hard selling a friend a product. But we were looking into different solutions or maybe how to reverse it. And this is implemented right now in the app that we're building, which is A-World.
Right. So wait a minute. You're in China.
I'm in China.
Just explain to me how you then arrived back in New York.
I left the Chinese company too. Mm-hmm. At one point it was, I've been traveling for the last years and I needed some stability. We made some money. I managed to open a small tech company in Italy. And I finally wanted to connect all the dots and put all the pieces of the puzzle together to do a project that could be impactful. And it needed to be impactful because I've been working for, you know, 10, 15 years in this industry. And I don't drive a business only to make revenue. There needs to be something else behind the business
idea. A deeper purpose.
A deeper purpose, yes.
Because I was at the Social Good Summit here in New York, just in mid-September. The thing that shocked me is that the fashion industry is got the second worst carbon footprint.
It is.
In terms of contributing to emissions and yes. Lack of sustainability. So it is an imperative that something is done about it.
It has to.
So can you just explain, because you come to New York, you've set up your tech company, and you have created this new app called A-World. Maybe you could just give us an explanation of the principle behind it, what drove you to do it?
Yes. As I said, we were connecting all the dots and the pieces, all the knowledge that we had. We said, okay, we want to put this together. Mm-hmm. The knowledge that we have and that we had for years. And
this is the collective. This is all your experience of e-commerce, the work you've done in China.
Exactly. The fashion industry.
The appreciation and acknowledgement that there needs to be something done to make the industry more sustainable.
Exactly.
And I suppose consumers as well.
Yes. And also a vertical for companies to find new clients mm-hmm. without having to bomb them with ads all day, because we don't want to be bombed with ads. Yes,
bypassing Google and
exactly
AdWords and
we Facebook. Ended up only with Google and Facebook and Instagram to do customer acquisition. Mm-hmm. So there is no other way right now. I mean, there are other smaller ways, but not as so efficient. Mm-hmm. So we decided to move into this project, and he said, okay, if we need to put our funds together, knowledge together, we need to do something that has an impact, a social impact, something that gives back.
Yeah.
And and we need to only be working with the companies that and the brands that we like. And we found an affinity with our mentality and brands like Patagonia, like Allbirds, which are contributing to doing something good for the planet and for the community. And we discovered the SDGs, the 17 points.
Sustainable Development Goals.
Development Goals, the 17 points that the UN made in order to try to solve no poverty, the gender equality, life below water. Mm-hmm. And most important point number 17 is partnerships for the goals.
Yeah.
And A-World is a combination of, it's a self-improvement app. The app gives you tips daily on how to become more sustainable, to how to change your lifestyle towards a more sustainable lifestyle. It gives you a weekly challenge where if you complete these tasks, we give you points. And these points create an impact score. Every person in the app has an impact score, which is your new how cool you are, is mm-hmm. your new how many followers you have, which is a combination of activities that you do good for the environment, how much you learn, how much you impact your friends with the content that we give you, and also how you spend your dollars, because we want you to spend your dollars not in brands that are only out there for a revenue, but we want to drive you to spend the money with companies that give back.
Yeah, I started using it this week, and I found the most, apart from obviously the daily tips, which are really interesting, is the educational piece.
Yes.
Where you get the content feed, where you read the article that might be on cars and driving.
Exactly.
And how you can improve your reduction in emissions, even if you are driving and not taking a city bike here in the city. Mm-hmm. And then you take a little test, and if you get them all right, your impact score
points.
Goes up, and it's clever.
Correct. Thank you.
And what I'm intrigued about is, given it's so new, what will happen when people when it starts to scale and you start to have a lot of friends on there, what the experience will be like. Is it something that you envisage down the line as part of your vision, that people would migrate away from platforms like Facebook and just
Could
have their
be.
Friends on a platform like this where they can both...
This is another option. I can tell you what we have in the pipeline is to develop groups and develop features where you can challenge your friend on who has a better higher impact score and who has more points during the week, and that will allow you to get bonus points, will allow you to get discounts towards brand, free products, and maybe in the future also better services, because we're working towards services connecting the app with Uber, with Lime, the scooters,
yeah.
City bikes too. So in the future, you'll be able to have better discounts maybe if you have a high impact score.
So what does this mean? Is this you have a team here in New York developing this, or is it?
We're still based in Italy. Mm-hmm. I believe that we have some great tech and great minds in Italy. So we'll be building this in Torino with my team. A part of the team is based here in New York. We are three people here. Managing onboarding, we are onboarding the brands and customer experience right now. The future right now is to impact as many people as we can, mm-hmm. and scale the marketplace, which will be a big component of the app.
So two questions then. One, how are you engaging brands to bring them to the platform? And two, how, without the use of Facebook and Google AdWords, are you driving people to use the new app?
Well, for now, we're reaching out to brands because we don't have the user base yet. We're reaching out to them through affiliation networks, and we're registering through their affiliation networks, and we're getting from them a percentage on the sales and a few coupon codes mm-hmm. that we're going to give back to our users. And something important that we never said is that a part of the transaction that we generate is giving back to smaller charities. For now, we're working with PhotoStart, for an example. A smaller empowering charity, we strongly believe in empowering, where it's brother and sister. Sister is over here in New York collecting used cameras, and the brother is in Africa receiving the cameras and teaching kids photography and giving them a job and teaching them something.
That's lovely, really. Yeah. Economic empowerment.
Exactly. So, and circular economy too. We use something that might have gone to trash and use it again. So we're strongly believers in this, and we know that the brands will love that. So brands are reaching out, but we're also reaching out to bigger brands. And second, this is where the affiliation comes in. The app is built to scale itself. So we will start with a few influencers, of course, on social platforms like Instagram and Facebook. But then you will be receiving points and discount based on how many people you invite and you impact. So this is the pure Chinese technique that we're implementing here. So you'll be able to invite your friends, impact them, challenge them, and then on a weekly basis. And then we're going to reverse affiliation. So what we're doing is we've built A World, which is a self-improvement app on top of our marketplace, but it also has a social network. Every person has his own account, and you'll be able to post pictures or videos, and you can tag the products that you're buying through the app. And if some of your friends will come through your account and then discover a new brand, because let's say you're maybe wearing a cool shirt or you're you have a new gadget, you'll be making a part of that commission indirectly.
So it's interesting because it sounds like a lot of brands that are these craft brands that might be on Etsy at the moment.
Yes.
This is the next step in the evolution to move from platforms like that to
a
presence.
We believe in smaller communities. Mm-hmm. Also, Facebook has been communicating that groups will be
the future.
Yeah, it's the future. So that's why we're implementing groups too. And we're implementing groups with local partners. So let's say there is a running store just next to where I live on Grand. And they will be able to have their own group and maybe collect money and give back a part of that money to the communities and impact more friends and get their business out there, get their voice to the audience that we will have on the app.
Mm-hmm. So what's your vision, let's say 5 years from now? Where do you see A World being? If we still have an A World,
based on
sort of the predictions of global warming.
Yeah. Yes, if we're still alive, where do I see A World? A World is a huge concept. It's a very broad concept. It's that layer between the companies, the people, and the charities is connecting the dots. Mm-hmm. We are that company in between. I think of A World as a brand. It needs to obtain a trust. It needs to, if you are an A World partner, you need to, we're going to vet you. We're going to make sure that you're sustainable in some way, at least the way we think you should be. So not everybody's allowed on A World for sure. We see this as a new social tool, as a new social network where we leave out the noise. We don't want, people that are flexing or cars on it. We want, it's your one-stop place to have good news and impactful news that makes you feel good instead of reading all these media about bad things happening in the world.
Just because you didn't touch on it at the beginning about it, can you just explain in simple terms? Obviously, we haven't got a video to show of A World yet, but we'll post it in the show notes. Can you just explain the core components to A World?
Yes. So what you do is when you land on a landing page, where we're also removing the first part of the registration, so you won't have to register anymore.
Yeah.
Because information needs to be free.
Yes.
We're gonna release the content. You can access to the content without having an account. You land on the homepage, you have your impact score, which is how you're doing. And you have a weekly challenge with daily tips. So you can open that and go through your day by day tips. And then you have a feed of content that we curate, which is a combination of new brands, stories about sustainability, and charities. This is the first part. We will then introduce you to a marketplace, which is a combination of brands and companies that are, again, actively involving in saving the planet, let's call it that way, which is fashion, which is home goods, which could be services. And then we have your wallet, you have your impact score page, mm-hmm. which you can track how you're doing. We measure sustainability on the three pillars of sustainability, which are environment, economy, and society.
Yes.
And it happens that we have all three of them. Environment, we call the tips and challenges. Economy is your purchases. And society is the social network. How you're doing with your friends and how many friends you're impacting through A World. So the impact score page shows you impact score, but also gives you different options on how to make that higher and how to invite your friends. It gives you, we rank you through levels for now, which will be a strong feature for the future, because we will give you different discounts or coupon codes based on your on your ranking.
Okay. And for charities that are interested in being listed on the world, so they, so you mentioned that the brands will commit to giving a percentage back to some form of for social impact on their end.
Yes.
Do they select their own charities, or just charities post themselves and then you can select where the brand gives to?
For now, charities are reaching out.
Yeah.
We decided to work with the smaller charities. Mm. We are open to also the bigger charities, but we want to keep it a niche for now.
Yeah.
So right now, you're correct. I didn't mention this earlier. On every transaction, the brand donates a part of the revenue. We ask them to donate at least 1%, and we will donate another percent to the...
You'll match it.
You will match it, yes.
Yeah. It's great.
It might be even higher.
It's very exciting. I think it's... I think we've talked about this on the podcast before, that Tristan Harris and others have created the Center for Humane Technology and have acknowledged that there have been too many applications built over the last few years, and Nir Eyal talks about it as well, that are just commanding our attention and distracting us and not having the social impact, the positive social impact on society that we need. There needs to be a change in direction. And I think we both know Joan I at the World Economic Forum is working on the DQ initiative and the Institute, and they are obviously working to drive better use of digital technologies by parents, by teachers, by businesses, through, I think it's the platform called Common Sense Media as well. And I think your platform is one of these few examples of technology that's moving us in the right direction. So
we're trying to combine these major components all together, and that's actually challenging.
Yeah,
but is we're good with tech. We think we have a solid idea. We'll see if the future tells us if we're right or not.
Well, by the sounds of it, it sounds like China are going to just lap it up. Maybe WeChat are going to be a little bit worried.
You never know. I mean, I think that Facebook is on the same trend. Mm-hmm. I mean, with their crypto, with the cryptocurrency, they're going to start giving points and giving back for certain activities. We'll have to see if the government allows them to execute something like this on a bigger scale, on a worldwide scale. But I mean, we're embracing the future.
Yeah, it's really exciting. Just want to ask you about education. That is a big part for us in talking about what we talk about in the podcast. In terms of, you were in a position where you could control policy, and given that you've had that, the way you describe your education, it was almost like a real world education from your father. Is there anything you would do if you were given power to improve the educational opportunities for children in the future?
Sure, there will be a lot that I would do. At least I think that in Italy, because I've studied in Italy, it's kind of, we're still obsolete, is not preparing kids to what the real world is. Of course, we need to go through history and Latin and all of that to keep the heritage is really important. And that's, I'm a strong believer in traditions, but we need to get the kids ready for the real world, I think. If I had the money, I would pay kids' debt straight away. Because it's not fair to pay for
remove all student debt. Yeah.
Exactly, straight away. It's not education should be free, but I would definitely act on a few things and change school. At least this is my point of view. First thing is education should be free. Second, I would teach the kids how to think, because we're telling them what to do and what to study, but we're not telling them to think out of the box. I would teach entrepreneurship. That's something that I think is very important, to find a passion. They definitely need to find their passion. I was lucky I found my passion, but not all many of my friends are lucky as I am. Leadership is very important too. We're not all leaders, but we could do a better job with that. How to manage time, how to communicate, that those are very important. The importance of traveling.
But not on planes.
Not on planes, not on planes, with sustainable transportation. I would teach them business because we're not all good at managing. Nobody taught us to manage money and a business, but most important is facing failure.
Yeah.
I've been lucky because I failed a lot. I've been allowed to fail a lot as an entrepreneur, and we have to learn from it. And I actually, it's weird in a sense, but I love failure because, you know, it puts you down on your feet, and then you learn from your mistakes, and then you learn how not to do those mistakes in a bigger scale, hopefully.
Okay. We're going to move to the quick fire questions. What principles do you stand by?
Well, for sure, transparency, clarity, mm-hmm. and loyalty. I've learned that these are principles that I cannot do without.
Clarity, what do you mean by clarity?
Yeah, so clarity from Italian chiarezza mm-hmm. is not really the pure transparency of a thing, is more of an internal transparency.
Yeah.
Be open and be clear with your intentions.
Ah, right, okay.
There you go.
I got you.
That's a very good translation. Mm.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. What hard choices have you had to make that might have been tough at the time but turned out to be the right decision?
For sure, to get to this point, I traveled a lot and I had to leave behind some personal life, mm-hmm. for sure. Said this, I'm always with my family and always with my best friends.
Yeah.
But I'm 33 and not married, don't have a girlfriend yet. So, and this is the reality. I just sometimes don't have time, and I actually enjoy not have time because I'm busy doing something that I love doing. So unfortunately, that's the downside.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it's only going to be temporary. Where do you go to discover new ideas?
Easy, maybe you heard this many times, but outdoor. Mm-hmm. I need fresh air, and most likely with less, it's kind of odd, but less clothes possible. Mm-hmm. Shorts, no shoes, t-shirt, even if it's chilly out there, but I just need to breathe.
I'll look out for you down on the East River come December, January, with your shorts and nothing much else, doing a bit of thinking.
I have to move back to LA.
Yeah. Who are your biggest influencers or influences?
Well, who and what?
Who and what, yeah.
As a Christian, I always put God mm-hmm. first. He's my biggest influence. But then my family have a lot to say yeah. in my life, and I learned a lot from them. And also, I have to say, a vision of myself in 10 years. That's an inspiration. Uh-huh. So who will be that person, and what that person will be doing, and his thoughts.
You must have a vision for that. You have clarity. What do you think it's going to be? What do you want
it to be? Hopefully a person with a lot of integrity.
But I'd say you're a person of integrity now.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I
that means a lot.
Yeah, but I wouldn't.
Well, still with the same integrity,
yeah.
with the family, uh-huh. and also developing maybe that that dad side that I don't have right uh-huh. now, and learning a lot from life that I don't have right now.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, I wish you all the best with that.
Thank you.
What's your perspective on failure?
Well, failure is important and needs to be faced. Uh-huh. As an entrepreneur, I'm used to failure, and I like it. I like the pain. And I enjoy the ride. It's weird to say, but I've learned how to step back from failure. At the beginning, I used to just like dig a hole and like put my head under the hole. Mm-hmm. And I used to take it really personal. But I've learned how to step back. If it's a business failure, it's not the end of the world. I've learned how to evaluate it from a different perspective. And move on with the reality of the situation.
Okay, that's a nice way of embracing it and describing it. Who have you met that's most surprised you?
Well, this is, I spoke to you about him. It's a fashion designer, very big, called Tommy Hilfiger.
Oh, yeah.
I've been lucky, I've been working.
I think you've heard of him.
You heard about him?
Yeah, I think
you
so.
Heard of him?
Yeah, I think so.
I've been working next to him for the last year and a half, and I've learned what the American dream is, because we know he made it. I've learned how to how he is down to earth. I admire how he's down to earth. And just to say a little funny story, we were in Italy recently, 2 weeks ago, and we have a showroom where we're displaying some products, which is not his brand. And a client comes over, and he's the first one to that steps to the client and goes to sell products to this client. And he never stops. He is business, business, business. He is a great father. And I admire him, because to keep a company that, to grow a company that big and that successful for so many years, it must take a lot of strength. And he is on it. So there's a lot to learn from him.
Who's made you reevaluate yourself?
Well, I must say, I have this strong connection with my mom and with my aunt. They are my go-to for success and failure. They always give me positive energy and support. And they give me a different point of view from the business point of view that I have. So, you know, mom, I've been doing this, and auntie, I've been doing this and that. And they give me more of a social and a different perspective, that which I need, because we're always very focused on business and drive sales and create new platforms and big business opportunities. But life is not only about that. Mm-hmm. You know, when we go home, sometimes we have to switch off, you know, and there is a lot that is going, a lot of life that we're not seeing going by. And they definitely highlight that.
All right. How do you keep up with technology?
Well, I test, I take chances. With A-World, we are trying to be a trendsetter. We're trying something new. So is by trying every day new things. And if it doesn't work, you trash it. And then you try another feature. And if it doesn't work, you trash it. And we have to keep an eye on, I keep an eye on different technologies. I recently started TikTok.
Mm-hmm. And it's fun.
It's fun. It's engaging. I got a few videos.
Look forward to your videos and your shorts down the East River. I think that's definitely going to get a few views.
That's going to be really bad. Yeah. But you want to stay ahead. Mm-hmm. You want to try every new technology and traveling through different countries also helps you a lot.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, I think you've had your fair share. We have the impossible question. What's your advice to someone who might be at school or is about to graduate, study, that's got a dream, a goal, a grand ambition, but has been told, forget it, that's impossible?
Well, I would love to give them inspiration with what I did. I would definitely say take your 20s, learn, discover a new passion, travel, and allow yourself to fail again, because it's important. And something that is also very important is don't take judgment too seriously. The metrics that you need to evaluate yourself are not the everyday metrics. You're not valued on how many followers and how many likes you get on a picture. And the real value is different. Of what you
your
do
impact
in
your
life.
Score on A-World.
Exactly.
Let's be real.
Exactly.
The new standard.
That's what we're trying to measure.
Okay, well, that's nice. We finished with these questions. What's your go-to karaoke song?
Easy, but it's Wonderwall, Oasis.
Oh, I'm with you. I like that.
I love the 90s. I'm in love
God,
with
we're going to have
90s.
To find... Bettina, get us a karaoke bar booked in the next month.
You don't want that. Yes. I need a few drinks.
We're going to have a Wonderwall duet.
There you go.
That's it.
I'm down for that.
Okay, cool. Let's do that.
I've sung that a few times.
After
funnily enough, down
our guest Michael, when I was schlepping him along.
Yeah, why don't we do that?
The Impossible Network Karaoke Night.
Maybe get Carmen or Delassie along.
Oh, that will be fun. That will be fun.
I think that's a plan.
We can pull out some Italian songs like some Vasco Rossi.
Oh, there you go. Ligabue Vasco Rossi, that would be, and some older stuff too.
Okay.
Ricolata.
All right. Okay, Bettina. All right. What's your recent Netflix, Amazon series that you'd recommend?
I'm not a huge movie person, but what I found interesting was Chernobyl.
Oh, I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, it's really good. Oh, okay. It's short. It's a few episodes. And
And good, well done.
What book do you want us to offer our listeners that come up with the best comments in the comment section?
I will give you a few. First, Contagious, by Jonah Berger.
I don't know if you know that.
I read a lot of marketing books, and it tells you how contagious marketing is and affiliate marketing is, and what are the problems from everyday marketeer. What do we have to face? Second is This Is Marketing from Seth Godin.
Yeah, great book. Yeah,
that everybody knows that one. And then, have you ever heard about Build a Story Brand by Donald Miller?
I've heard of it, but not read it.
Very good. Yeah. It tells you the value. It gives you the value of branding, which I'm a strong believer in. I'm a strong believer in building a brand and branding strategies over marketing. I tend to separate those. I think that marketing is the action. Marketing happens when branding fails. So you do marketing because you're missing sales, because your branding is not strong enough. There is we see companies like Supreme, never done an ad. Yeah. You see Hermes, don't do many ads. And they're the biggest, they're like the top top trending brands right now. So that's the power of, branding, and this
power
book,
story.
Build a Story Brand, is all about that.
And final question. Final question. Who should we interview next?
I have a very interesting friend called Roberto Raban.
Photographer.
Music photographer in the music industry. He took pictures of Michael Jackson. He took pictures of Rolling Stones, Bob Marley, everyone. And I'm sure he will have a lot of interesting stories for you.
Excellent. Well, we sum up just to say thank you very much and how appreciative we are of your time, and just acknowledge you for what comes across in your questions and the work that you're doing with A World, which I think is amazing. And I'm, like I say, I'm going to be sharing it with all my friends over the next few weeks. And just acknowledge you for what I see is your authenticity, your passion for what you're doing.
Thank you.
Your vision to have done what you've done and to carry on with the energy you've got. And just for your unrelenting positivity.
Thank you very much.
Which I think is great.
It means really a lot for me.
Yeah. So thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, thanks. And sorry, just to say, but before we wrap up, because this is our first, I'm an ordinary Italian today, but we have from a comment in the corner, final thank you and acknowledgement.
Yes, for the first Italian on our podcast, besides your producer, we had Scottish people and British, but we never had an Italian. So
thank you, Bettina. I'm honored and proud.
Very proud of that.
Thank you.
Why don't you wrap it up in Italian?
Let me think.
Thank you very much. Grazie a tutti.
Can I say it in Italian? Yeah. Allora, grazie mille per essere stato nel nostro podcast. Mi fa piacere avere avuto un ospite italiano, perché ovviamente siamo sempre più nordici.
Certo.
E di sentire un italiano in espatrio, come si dice in italiano, Giacomo?
Espatriato.
Come me, che apporta delle belle idee in un paese e che li esecuta in un paese dove non è molto facile fare il business. E questa
Grazie,
è una cosa
Bettina,
bella.
Sono fiero di essere italiano, lo porterò sempre nel cuore, quindi Bravo. Sono prima italiano Bravo. E poi cittadino del mondo.
Anch'io.
Grazie.
Grazie.
Just go to iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or whatever podcast player you listen to subscribe and rate. And if you like the show, please give us a 5-star rating, as it helps more people discover us. If you want to learn more or have someone you'd like us to interview, just visit us at theimpossiblenetwork.com or DM us on Instagram at @theimpossiblenetwork. For now, be curious, be creative, and be open to serendipity. See you next time.